Welcome to episode 345 of the 8-Bit Geek. You know, it's Thanksgiving time around here. And what better time to talk about what this show is like than Thanksgiving? You know, it's a lot like your family coming together, sitting down at the table, eating the bird, eating that stuffing, getting that gravy all over the place. And then you're fat, stuffed, tired, taking a nap, and then you wake up and you get seconds. You're like, this is delicious. But then it happens. Your family starts bringing up stuff like, hey, whatever happened to Sarah? She was a good girl. How come you guys aren't together anymore? And then you're like, Mom, I've been married to Samantha for like 4 years now. Why are you asking about this other chick? And then she clearly states that she's never liked your wife or your kids. People are talking about how Billy just got out of jail. This is his first real meal in months. Your teenage sister's pregnant. Dad's not in love with his mom anymore after 35 years. Yeah, you heard it right.
The John Cougar Mellencamp song.
You find out that one of your family members is making stepsister porn for Pornhub.
Oh,
that's what it's like to listen to this show. That's the 8-Bit Geek for you. Huh. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug. Run away.
And with me today are two men who stuffed the turkey with more than just stuffing.
There's more. You had more. You had more.
I did. So, yeah, I had to get my, I guess, I don't, this whole forehead thing is really giving me a complex.
I'm Kevin. By the way, I want to get this in.
So, what it's not like extra long, is it? What the hell's going on?
No, not anymore. No,
not after not the since floods.
Not since the accident. It says, I mean, it's kind of big.
You wouldn't know. You're high all the time. Everything looks big.
But I love it.
Damn.
Oh boy.
How about that? Welcome, first-time listeners.
Yeah, no. Sorry, we've got some stuff that happens in the Discord that comes over to the show sometimes. So we have
it's canon.
Yeah, it's canon. So we've had somebody express their love for my forehead, and they didn't understand. I guess until they saw the show, I don't understand it. It's a normal fucking forehead.
There's rule 34 for his forehead.
It's not like I'm not Peyton Manning over here.
That's true.
Oh, that's a fucking five head for you, man. That guy. Steroids, eh?
I mean, everything about me is big except the penis, but.
Again, welcome, first time listeners.
Yeah. Room count just dropped.
Well, that's the truth for all three hosts. I mean, we wouldn't have this show if it wasn't for our small penises. We need something to boost the ego. Am I right, guys? Gun salute.
Anyways, I'm gonna eat a box of nerds now for random since I owe them for last week. So here we go. Oh, it's so exciting.
I don't know why I did the motion with you like I was eating some.
You just wanted to experience it with them.
Uh-huh.
You have that close of a brotherhood.
Nerds.
Touch tips. See? Jared can feel it too. See? He feels the sourness. Look at his face. It's like the ET thing. You guys touch tips and now you can feel everything together.
Oh God, yes.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
He's got a quite sour look on his face, and Jeremy's joining him.
Can we just restart the show?
Yeah, sure. Start it with that weird theme song again.
Okay. Wow, 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 wow. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 345 of the 8-Bit Geek. If this is your first time here, let me tell you what this show is like. It's a lot like three friends getting together, talking about nerd stuff and having a great time. I'm Jeremy, and with me today are two guys who are just really swell dudes.
Who?
Not us.
Bitch, you lying.
Yeah.
If you like what you're listening to, if you're like, "Yeah, these guys are kind of cool, maybe I'll give another episode a listen," you should. And you could do that over on our website. We've got all the links to everything from where you can listen to us. You can download a thing called Discord and hang out with us. And then also, you can subscribe to us on Patreon, where we have a whole bunch of cool stuff. You may be sitting there going, "Oh, these guys fucking suck. How do they have a Patreon?" Well, we've sucked enough to get one.
Also, anybody can make one, which is a fun caveat that we have been exploiting this entire time.
That's interesting, because I was not told that. I've been doing favors to get that Patreon going up. Yeah, not the only thing. You can hit up Patreon. You can hit up the website, www.the8bitgeek.com, for all that fun stuff. And please join us there. You can find all of our other shows that we have as well. We have the 8-Bit Saga, and we have Divas Dropkicks and Dives. And if you're looking to host your own show, applications are open. Send in a 3-minute audio or video application explaining who, what, and why, and maybe you'll become an 8-Bit Geeker.
Geeker?
Sounds like a rejected
puppet. Remember, Sir Run, or no, DMC dubbed us 8-Bitters.
Oh, yeah, we are the 8-Bitters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's that. We also have a cool thing going on over at Discord. We've got our annual, it's become an annual, Secret Santa, the 8-Bit Bitters, Secret Santa Fun Day.
Somebody's getting DMC as their Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cool would that be? Just get a pair of signed Adidas.
Man, he wouldn't send Adidas. He'd be just sending you his collection of comics.
That's a win.
That is kind of a win.
Dude, his comic book was rad. I loved it. Yeah. And now it's in my mantle. So, thanks, Jeremy.
You're welcome. I'm glad I can make that dream come true for you.
Dude, legendary hip-hop artist. We got to talk to him, let alone hang out with him. That was weird and surreal.
And fun. Back in the good old days of 8-Bit.
It was like 2 years ago.
Back when we were something.
Back when people cared.
We back peaked.
When we were funny and handsome.
Back when we had more than 10 listeners.
I mean, we still have more than 10 listeners.
That's true.
So, hey, we're still living in the now.
Hey. All right, so let's get into it. We're going to have a little bit fun before we get into doing some of the news around the world in the entertainment business. And how do we have that fun? Well, it's a good question, everybody. I'm glad you asked. We like to do some reviews. We like to read them from your popular Amazons or Walmarts or wherever we find them. Reviews for products around the internet in a segment we like to call Reviews from the Internet. Still working on that. So, Doug, you're up first.
All right. This one's for an ant killer. and it comes from Happy Blusky.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll have to find a voice for this.
Or Happy Blue Sky?
Hell, that makes way more sense. Happy Blue Sky makes way more sense.
Happy Blusky, everybody. Well,
I mean, you know, you're going to say blue. Spell blue correctly.
It was Happy Blue Sky was already taken by somebody. So.
They didn't want to go like Happy Blue Sky 1.
Or Happy XX. Or Happy XX.
So Happy Blue Sky. Blusky says.
It's a five star too.
Yeah, verified purchase. Five stars.
Okay.
They say, I won the battle. Mm-hmm. Worked well when ants managed to find their way up the wall to the second story of the house, under the deck door and into the kitchen trash can. One, probably a scout ant, even tried to watch Netflix with me on the couch. Suffice it to say, we did not chill, and I did not like the uninvited visitors.
Oh, boy.
But a lot of options went through my head. One, don't keep food in the trash can. That's my daddy's recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, or option two, try to seal the deck door better. No ant-sized spaces. Three, adopt an animal that eats ants, like the ever-popular ant eater. Apparently, it's illegal to own one of them, though.
Yeah.
Four, move. Or five, declare war.
It's good.
I decided that the last option was the most feasible.
It's fair.
After a few Amazon clicks and days awaiting the ammunition, the battle began. Day one, the troops held strong. Day two, still strong, but definitely moving slower.
Oh no.
Day three, delirium kicked in. The troops were scattered and uncoordinated.
Oh.
The ants appeared to be unfazed. Just kidding. it was a weekend. I was having a rough time. Day four and five, even more delirium, and a significant amount of troops have retreated. Day six, only the strongest and bravest troops remain. Day seven, one lone soldier. I took pity on him and gave him an honorable funeral with the heel of my shoe. They have not tried to attack since. Do I feel bad? A little. But they started it.
That's true. That's true.
You ended it. Fuck.
Mine is from Amazon as well. It's a goose. Okay. It's a down goose pillow, and it's actually a customer question. Question goes: are they noisy? Do you hear the feathers moving when your head is on the pillow? And the answer: no. The geese used are dead.
which is not true. That's not how down pillows work. Well, I assume it's
so
true.
Good. It's so Monty Python.
Yeah.
God damn it. Okay. Well, I have one. This is another Amazon review, a 5-star review for lighters.
Mm.
This one is from Alex, and Alex titles it, God damn it, these really light my fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a verified purchase. Now, these lighters are revolutionary. I needed something that would be hot enough to set fire to the wick of a candle, and these do not disappoint. I released the safety notch and pulled the trigger. A beautiful orange burst appeared on the land of it as if by magic. I found that if I held the orange glow up to a candle wick, even more... quick, excuse me, I need to, hold on. Quick, thank you. Even more magic would follow, and the glow would duplicate. The candle burned for hours on its own, as this is a multi-pack. You could even hold two at once to try to light multiple candles simultaneously. Now, it takes a bit of practice to get the coordination right, but it's a great trick to impress the ladies. This is yours truly, Alex. Just want to let you know, four people found this helpful. Three of them were burner accounts of mine. But one of them's real.
And it was the ladies.
Hey, Blesky up here. I just want you to know that 1,077 found mine helpful, so... if you're looking to get rid of them ants, you can just go buy some of this ant killer.
No, right. Go piss on an electric fence.
I did that. That's why I talk this way.
me too. Let's be friends.
Hey, guys. Guys, don't mean to interrupt here, but you know geese pee on electric fences all the time. Nothing happens.
What? How?
I don't buy that. I buy that, but I would believe that they shit on them because geese shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. You didn't say poodle.
Poodle?
Poodles die.
Poodles die.
All day. Top box office. What happened?
What a weird segue.
What happened over there in the box office? Well, guess what, guys? The box office was Frozen.
So no one went to the box office because it was too cold?
No, because the cold never bothered me anyway. So, he doesn't understand that reference because he's never seen the movie.
Oh, Big Trouble in Little China? I've seen that many times.
Anyway.
Kevin, you're three steps away from moving. Frozen 2 came at number one. $130 million at the box office. Ford versus Ferrari. Came in number two with $15 million for a total of almost $60 million. And then number three, really sad. In its first week, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood only made $13 million. I'm hoping that it picks up steam during Thanksgiving because it was a fantastic film. I went to go see it on opening night on Thursday. And it made me cry a whole bunch. Pretty sure there's a tally. There's a little counter in the upper right hand corner of the film where it said how many times have Jeremy cried, and it just went ding every time. It got up to six, with one like, you know, it was at the end of the movie, man. It got me. It got me good. So, yeah, I recommend it to anybody to go see it. It's really good stuff.
I wonder what the budget is for this. I couldn't really see it.
25.
25? Oh.
$25,000.
$25,000. No. Tom Hanks took a pay cut on this one.
You know that he found out that he is related to Mr. Rogers. He found that out right before the premiere of the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
In what way? He was like a great uncle of sorts?
Sixth cousin.
Huh. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. I guess they share a great-grandfather a few times removed.
That's a wholesome-ass family tree then, man. Tom Hanks and Mr. Rogers? Holy shit, dude.
Yeah. Ed says, so cool, so watch Alone at Home so no one can see my crying shame.
True.
Sure. It is Thanksgiving, and we're going to give thanks here to Disney for finally releasing, and I did this because I know Doug is really interested in our first story.
Mm-hmm.
Disney is finally releasing the Avatar 10th anniversary merchandise that everyone has been waiting for.
Secret Santas, take notes.
Secret Santas, take notes.
Whoever gets Doug,
there is an Avatar water bottle, an Avatar t-shirt. An Avatar poster.
Is there an Avatar coffee mug, though?
That'd be good for him. He'd love that.
Yeah, dude. Look at that. Look at the smile. You can see it. It's peeking out through his bushy mustache.
It's good. It's really good. And look at that design. It's got an A with a bird. And a face.
It's so bad.
It's such a bad design.
Yeah.
It's their way of trying to keep people to remember that Avatar exists.
Pretty much. They're like, hey, remember we got a movie coming out next year? In two years.
2 years.
remember, this is a sequel to the movie that was 10 years ago. Remember how well that worked out, Terminator?
Yeah.
So.
Yep, we expect James Cameron, piece of shit.
Oh.
Shots fired there.
For real. I'm going to have him on so you guys go at it.
Cool.
Yep, go on.
Doug would not be able to get a word in. It would just be James Cameron talking the entire time, talking about explosions.
Talking about describing them.
Yeah.
That's his filibuster.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how Lucasfilm has developed a new technology called stagecraft. And it is absolutely stunning. If you have time, go to Google and check it out. They are reinventing the way that movie sets are. This is
green screen.
In green screen, yeah. So instead of a green screen, it's a projection system that moves in time and space with the camera. And so it gets perfect shots every time. And you can set it up for as big of a backdrop as you want. And instead of building these big sets, so what they do is they send a film crew out to say film in the desert or whatever backdrop you need. They film it in, 8K or whatnot. They bring it back to the studio. They can either put it in to the system and project it, and or they put it in and then use Unreal Engine to create backdrops as well. So if you say you need, like in The Mandalorian, say you have, two buildings that you've built on a physical set. Well, then you need to display an entire city behind that. Well, in Unreal Engine, they will build the city, put it against these projectors, and it will look exactly like you're real. Like it's real and that you're there. And so when the actor's standing in front of it, there is no like outline and people don't have to paint in around and do any kind of extra work. And when you move the camera, it's in sync with the background, so it stays and looks like you're actually there. It's incredible tech.
It's so sick. If you also have time, if you're checking that out, check out Corridor Digital's recent VFX Artist React series. Mm-hmm. Their recent video for this week, they talk about it because they talk about Oblivion, the movie, Tom Cruise movie Oblivion, and how if you watch that movie and stuff, the lighting and the reflections on glass and stuff when they're supposed to be in this like building above the clouds and stuff and these amazing views, that's how they did it. Is they had this set built and then the screens were the sky. And yeah, when the cameras move, it adjusted and stuff. It was one of the very first uses of it in film. And so they didn't have to go in later and do all these CG special effects to make the sky look beautiful and the reflections mm-hmm. on the glass. And because it's, this like white, sterile looking environment. So it's really reflective. That's how they did it. And now, yeah, we're seeing it now being used elsewhere. But they go into it a little more like how it works. And mm-hmm. they're even like,
but not only that, though, like with that film, it was just the sky projected and stuff like that. With this, they're actually now like moving. It moves in with the camera to create. They're saying that the camera moves in this space. The parallax changes. And so,
yeah, I was going to say in their video, they talk about how like they're working on a video using it. Like they, mm-hmm. they got to play around with it a little bit, and they're. The shots that they're showing you is them on set, so you get to see in the background and the stuff that they're filming in front of it. And they even say, like, if you're watching the video, you'll see, like, sometimes it looks weird to the naked eye because it's moving for the camera and what the camera sees, but not necessarily, like, things look warped and stuff at times because, again, it has to it looks correct with how the camera's looking at it, not necessarily how your naked eye is looking at it. Because, yeah, you're looking at essentially, like, a room of screens and they're like QLEDs or some shit. Looks like those really like, mm-hmm. bright. It's fucking sick. It was so cool to mm-hmm. see that. And then again, to see this in our notes was like, oh shit, I was just learning about this.
And then the lights. So if you change, the demo that they had was they had this motorcycle and there was some rocks and stuff behind them. And so if they change the projection lighting, it also changes the entire lighting for the stage. So the bike, everything, the actor, so everything is perfectly lit at all times and it's lit to the environment. So now you don't have to use a VFX artist to go in and relight everything. And like it's all fun. It's really, really dope.
And they've been using it on The Mandalorian apparently.
Yeah. And it's so good. This is how good it is. Kathleen Kennedy was talking and that they had a Walt Disney executive visit the set and he goes, And so she goes on to say, it was really funny as we had an executive from Walt Disney come down early in the process. And it's one of those things that's difficult to explain until you walk into the environment and see how it's working. He stepped in, he looked around and said, John, I thought you weren't going to build anything. And he had no idea he was standing in a virtual set. That's how unbelievable it is.
Wow.
So they thought that they like built all these expansive sets and shit, and like, nope, all digital, all projections.
And then that's him when he says John. He's talking to Jon Favreau.
Yeah, Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
So
which is
Jon
cool.
You know what?
You know what's also really cool? I was thinking about this, and speaking of The Mandalorian, one of the recent episodes where they were talking about the stormtroopers, mm-hmm. We saw the stormtroopers in some of the shots, is how at the Star Wars Celebration panel, he was talking about how the stormtroopers were 501st members, and that was their personal, like a lot of, not necessarily stunt stuff, but a lot of was their personal armor.
Yeah, they said that their personal armor is more screen ready than anything that they could build.
Which is just fucking crazy. So it's like I was watching this, like, that motherfucker's probably a goddamn like,
and probably first dude, and probably all the Mandalorians as well.
I think they just used stormtroopers. I don't think they did Mandos.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So they built that armor for everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Way they could control what they look like more. Where stormtrooper armor is just fucking stormtrooper armor.
That's
is.
True. That's very true.
So. Yeah,
but they're saying that this new tech is going to change the industry and change how TV shows are made and also probably movies as well. I mean,
cool.
Yeah, there's times where it'll definitely be again, like especially in the realm of Star Wars. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, like I'm just thinking like. Even though, like in Episode 3 and stuff, when we see like the city shots of Coruscant and stuff, you can still look at the behind the scenes stuff, and they're on just a blue stage, you know, mm-hmm. with a handful of set pieces.
Yeah, now people could actually like actors can see what they're looking at and be like, oh mm-hmm. shit, okay, so this
easier
is where
to
we're
act
at.
To, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. To react to.
Yeah, like oh, you're looking over a giant fucking city, like okay, oh there it is, nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, well, now I don't want to fall off the edge because I'm afraid I'm going to fall into the fucking abyss. That is, of course, and not a goddamn bright blue screen.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Speaking of Star Wars, thank you guys for bringing up Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy,
forever and always, I'll never stop talking about. I'm wearing a Star Wars T-shirt right now.
I have a Star Wars tattoo on.
Me too. Two of them.
You know what? I really need to go get one for real, though.
Oh.
I don't have one. I need one.
I'm so disappointed. Kale didn't get a D-bag tattoo this weekend. What a piece of shit.
Why this weekend of all?
Oh, they were doing people got a bunch of tattoos this weekend. They did like a tattoo party.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, okay. Yeah.
But he didn't, I mean, he didn't even go.
And they all used the same needle to keep things mm-hmm. cheap.
No, they didn't. no, we're joking about him getting a D-bag on his butt. And he was like, I would never bless these sweet meats with ink. Or, I would never, would not bless, but it was something.
So, John Favreau,
mm-hmm.
and Dave Filoni, isn't it Dave Filoni? Filoni.
Filonius.
Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni and John Favreau, blah, blah, blah. We're actually going to play a major role in the future of Star Wars, which I don't know why they didn't do this in the beginning. Kathleen Kennedy is going to bring them on to kind of help direct the where Star Wars goes next and what movies get greenlit and what stories are going to be told.
Well, that's awesome, especially for Dave Filoni. He is considered to be George Lucas's
protege,
Padawan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially like he started working with him, I believe during the prequels, maybe after, but he was the one that created the Clone Wars cartoon. He's the one that created the Rebels cartoon and Resistance, and he's been heavily involved with The Mandalorian with Jon Favreau, which he brought on. I don't know.
He directed Episode 1.
Yeah, he directed Episode 1. Jay, I don't know if you know this. Jon Favreau played a Mandalorian in the Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and that is what sparked all of it.
I learned that when they did the chef show up at Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They talked about that. And so that's how they started talking about everything. And yeah, pretty crazy. So I think it's a smart move by Kathleen Kennedy. You know, she is she's a fantastic producer. She's been on some of the biggest movies of all time, helping produce them. But it was always, you know, even she said herself that, you know, you need some help story wise on where we take this next. And so I think you can't have two better people to help steer that ship.
Yeah, so. Two giant Star Wars nerds.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good. I mean, like what we've been seeing. Yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah.
I would say the stuff that comes from Dave Filoni has been some of my favorite stuff. Like Rebels, Clone Wars, Resistance has been okay. And then like Mandalorian. I mean, fuck me. Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. What I like about Dave Filoni too is that he's not afraid to dip into the old canon and use it and whatnot. He's the one that brought Thrawn back, you know? He's mm-hmm. the one that made Thrawn canon again.
Hey, how do you feel about possible midichlorians invading Star Wars again with the Mandalorian? There's some theories that this baby Yoda. I thought we were done with it.
I thought we were done with it too. I thought we kind of wiped the slate clean because we haven't heard about it ever again
mm-hmm.
since like episode one.
And in The Force Awakens, they reiterated the Force is all around us. It's in us. It lives in everything. I was like, cool. Okay, so we're just going to forget that.
I would love a throwaway. Like, we thought it was midichlorians. We were wrong.
Yeah, right? Like, we tried to take all the midichlorians out of this little Yoda guy, but it ain't there.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever that is. Like, maybe it, like, it's like, I keep thinking of His Dark Materials with dust. Where it's like dust is this thing that surrounds you or whatever. Like maybe it's like it's attracted, the midichlorians are attracted to people and that's how we're able to gauge it, but the midichlorians themselves are not the Force. Yeah. It's just like something that is attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can remove all those from somebody and they're still Force users.
I'd be okay with that explanation.
Right? It'd be like, okay, cool. Thank you for giving me, you've explained it. It's a way to measure if someone is strong in the Force, but without them being the Force themselves. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
You fixed it.
That'd be fun.
I don't know. The dude, the doctor is clearly, he has, people have noticed that he has the Kamino patch mm-hmm. or whatever on his uniform. Yep. So that motherfucker is something with cloning. So I don't know what it's going to, why he was trying to clone that kid. So I'm curious.
It would be so fucking sick if this ties into, it ends up tying into how Palpatine comes back for the final film, you know?
Ooh. Yeah, but are we going to get the final episode by the time the film drops?
I think so. It's the same week.
Is it?
I think so. I think it's the same week. We're just all like looking at it.
Let me just go to
Mandalorian episode list. Bump a dump a dump.
Season one. December 27th, so the week after.
Oh, the week after. So maybe they still tie it in, and then after you watch the movie, you're like, how the fuck? And then you watch the last episode of Mandalorian, you go, and it's like a big final surprise.
Yeah. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting. We shall see. Wes Craven's estate is apparently taking new pitches for A Nightmare on Elm Street. Actively. Like, people are going after it. And I think...
Nice.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. But would it be something good?
Yes. Yeah. Apparently... they're interested in a feature film as well as a HBO Max series.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't know why that took me a while to register HBO Max or whatever. I was like, what?
Because
they said HBO Mac, and I was like, no, that's Apple Plus.
HBO Mac.
What are you talking about?
Elijah Wood is interested in sending his pitch. And
this is the one, the multiple Freddy's,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's such a good idea.
The Freddyverse.
The Freddyverse. I love that. I love that so much.
So we talked about this, like, what was it, last week? Like, just in chat. And I think my idea was pretty decent. But I would
pitch it here, because then someone's going to steal it and they're going to turn it in and you're not going to get any money.
Oh, fuck.
Yep.
I'm going to go send this to Wes Craven's dead body or estate.
Wow.
Okay, his estate.
Thank you.
Not his grave.
I'm going to visit his grave, and he's got a little slot for ideas, and right in the headstone there, he just put it in.
Excuse me. I don't think you'd be very busy. Can you read my script? It just spits out.
It gives you a no or a yes.
Magic 8-ball, try again later.
Well, it either comes out from a shredder, or it goes in and...
No. If it comes out as a shredder, it comes out and it's just got three claw marks in it.
Oh, yeah.
What?
But if it's accepted, if it is accepted, it goes ding.
Yeah. Good job, bitch.
Chad Fu says in chat, only the best ideas will raise him from the grave.
That's true. That's the truth. This will be forwarded to the producers, bitch. all right, let's talk some gamings. And guys, I don't know about you, but when Valve comes out and says, hey guys, we're announcing something with Half-Life, and then you freak out and you're like, fuck yeah, and then they announce that it's for VR only, and then you're like, fuck no.
It looks sweet though.
No, it does. Look good. It looks amazing. But none of us will ever play it.
Kev will.
No, he won't.
No, I don't have VR. I mean, it's not coming to PSVR.
Nope.
Kev won't.
None of us will. It's $1,000 to get into VR. No one's going to play this game except for the maybe 3,000 people who have VR headsets. Maybe that's a little low. Maybe there's more.
I'd like to play it. I mean, like I said, it looks amazing.
It does. And they've already come out and said that this will never work on a mouse and keyboard.
Well, yeah, you look at it, you can tell it won't.
Yeah. And so it sucks. Man,
my brother-in-law was just sent one of the new Oculuses from Oculus. Should be like,
must
hey, bud.
Be nice.
Hey, bud. How do I get one of them?
And he goes, I don't know. I'm never going to use it, but it's just going to stay here. Wait, but can I use it? No.
Toss it in the pile of other VR headsets that he got.
He's got a pile of VR, and he's just like, no, it's irresponsible for me to give it away. I'm just gonna hoard it all.
He just breaks it in half in front of you.
But that's the thing. I get that maybe this is a good way to ease back into Half-Life because the expectations are so high for Half-Life 3. And maybe this is a good way to reintroduce and be like, okay, we're finally doing something with Half-Life. But fuck me, man. Like, what a middle finger to the fans who have been clamoring for 15 years for a new Half-Life game and then it to be only VR. And it's just like, cool. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'm just happy that, one, they're making a game that's on a goddamn card game.
That's a good, true. Yeah.
And, you know, it looks amazing. So maybe this will push them to make something else. Make a 3 or make... I mean, you know, it's Alex, it follows another character, blah, blah, blah. But like, I would like to see them, like, maybe this light a fire under their asses a little bit. Because apparently, you know, they've been working on this for 4 fucking years.
Just like, this VR game alone?
Just this VR game alone. Like, a team of 50 or so have been working on this for the last 4 years.
Wow.
And that apparently it's taken lots of different shapes and forms and stuff as they've been working on it. But this is what, I mean, and it looks great.
it does. Great. That's it. No, it really looks great. Yeah. But unfortunately, 80% of the fans will not play this game.
Or at least not anytime soon until VR is
a very
affordable household item.
When it needs to come down to like a $400 price tag for that system that they're selling for $1,000. And the stuff that's out right now for that costs like $200 or $300 just ain't cutting it. Like it's not good enough.
It's good entry level stuff, but not gonna be able to play heavier games like this.
Yeah. Guys, we got some Stadia news.
Oh shit.
And Google's not happy. It's reportedly performing below their expectations. No shit.
Well, I mean, that's the reviews are pretty awful. We talked about that last week. They try to get it out before the holidays, and this is what they're dealing with now.
I have no doubt that they'll make it better. I have no doubt of that.
Oh, yeah.
And my biggest concern is that Google has been known to abandon ship really quickly when things do not work out. And, you know, I guess that they're gives me a little more hope knowing that they've opened 3 game studios to create first party titles and to try to make it work. So maybe in the future it gets better. It was just a terrible launch. Absolutely terrible.
I mean, the early adopters are going to get fucked every time, you know, and this is just the price they pay.
$129.
To try to be the first, basically pay to beta test. And right now they're not happy with the beta.
Video game sales, guys, are going to rake in $150 billion in 2019.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep. That's up 9.6% from last year's revenue.
God damn.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, even our grandparents and our parents are playing video games. So they're on their cell phones. You know, either playing like a poker game or even jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
There's something out there, man, that's keeping people occupied. So people making money in this business.
Everybody, I mean, we're getting older. And so we're the OGs of this fucking shit. And now we're passing it on to our kids. Yeah, we're the OGs. We're pretty close to the OGs. Well, I consider myself an OG because I did start with an Atari.
I mean, same.
You know, so Kevin's face is like doesn't understand.
I'm trying to think of like people who were in the arcades in the 80s, like Stranger Things kids.
Yeah,
I think
but
of them as the OGs, like the generation
games,
before us.
Yeah, but
either way, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, Atari is really the OG, like home console where it started for all that. Sure, the arcades were around for a long time, but it's still all considered OG.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, that's what you should have said then. Amazon is said to be entering the cloud gaming fray next year. Right. So they'll have a streaming service that works with Twitch.
Right.
And it's the future.
Great.
I mean, we knew this was going to happen. It's going to saturate the market now. But hopefully that'll make everyone competitive.
I don't know. I think it's going to be like a flash in the pan sort of situation where it's going to be like, wow, this. And then it'll be like, oh, the infrastructure's not there. And then it'll be like 10 years before it's actually viable.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I wouldn't say 10 years. I'd say 5. I'll give it 5.
No, I'm going to fucking say 10 years, Kev.
I say by 2024, we're going to have that shit sorted.
Well, there's one thing that.
Not.
See you in 5 years, bitch.
There's one thing Amazon has over everybody, which is AWS. And it's one of the biggest cloud gaming vendors in the world that makes $20 billion in annual revenue.
Wow.
So they have the means. They have the tech. But once again, people don't have the net. Oh, nailed it. We just don't have fast enough broadband, which I think that's why Microsoft said that it would really take off when we finally get like 6G service throughout the US. And that's when people drop the cable companies and just start using their cell phone companies to get internet.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're getting,
it's gonna happen.
When we're just streaming 1 terabyte a second down from a satellite in space.
Downloading 8K movies
on my Tesla.
1 terabyte per movie.
On my Tesla Wi-Fi.
Doug, you okay there, bud?
Yeah, sorry. I'm looking at something that my wife sent me. It was just dumb.
Yeah, it's just something not important.
It is, and it's just like, why?
Yeah, just doing the show. No big deal.
I will do whatever I want.
I do what I want.
Well, guys, that's all I had for this week. It's a short week. We're gearing up for Thanksgiving, so I didn't have much. The news is not going as there's not as much. Mm-hmm. So hope you guys.
You Patreon people though, you've got full week of diners still, and mm-hmm. there is a lot, mm-hmm. a lot to consume on this Thanksgiving week.
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Yep, we should have a new episode of Saga this week too.
All yes,
fingers fucking crossed. Jesus,
Space Jesus, of course.
Godzilla versus Kong got pushed back 8 months.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Now it's
to make Godzilla to look more like Sonic.
November 2020.
Yeah, well, we decided that we didn't like how he looked, so we decided to go back to his original appearance, and then we also decided to introduce Godzuki. So we've got to work in a little baby Godzilla.
God damn it, that was so annoying.
Godzilla. And Godzuki.
Oh no, guys! Breaking news. Massachusetts.
I'm sorry.
Massachusetts police.
Massachusetts?
No, I said it right. They've been quietly testing those robot dogs from Boston Dynamics.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh, Black Mirror, here we come. Mm-hmm.
Oh no, it's gonna be bad.
Chuffy says, what? Battleborn? Did we already talk about this? Battleborn shutting down's not big enough to hit the news?
No.
I mentioned it to our group earlier.
Yeah. No, because no one plays it. Even Kev, who went aw, rip, doesn't play it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm kind of bummed about it. So for those who don't know, Battleborn, who was made by Gearbox a couple years ago, did not sell very well. They're shutting down. 2K is shutting down the servers in 2021. So by shutting down the servers,
you still have a year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everything will be gone. The story mode, single player mode, multiplayer mode, everything gone. The game will not exist within a year.
Oh, cool. It doesn't exist now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could play the story. I figured you could play the story mode, fucking but that's kind of a bummer that you're unable. Think about it this way, especially for people who actually paid money for it. Think about this, really puts it into perspective that you don't ever really own the game, that you're basically just licensing it, and now you're losing your license to it because that game's going to be gone in 2021.
Right. And if it were a bigger game, then we would make a big deal about it. But no, like I said, right. no one's playing this game.
But so it's interesting to think about that they can do that.
Yeah. And that's why, that's just the state of gaming now. We don't own our games. I've already come to terms with that when this whole thing went down with Steam, when people wanted to resell them and they're like, no, you can't because you don't actually own them. So when we covered that. But Battleborn.
But it was a fun game while it lasted. They tried something. It didn't work.
Yeah, we loved it.
It was too close to... It came out too close to Overwatch and looked too much like Overwatch. So, and Overwatch was much better. So there you go.
It was really sad to walk through the Gearbox Studios and I saw the big Battleborn... and a big Battleborn plaque on the walls. And everyone signed it. And I was just like, damn, that's a lot of people to work on this fucking game. Just for it to fail.
Yeah, Overwatch really, and even though they're not similar at all, it was just too close and too visually similar in a way that it just got blown out of the wall. It just got smoked. It's so unfortunate. It's one of those, man, if y'all just waited.
And it wasn't even them that did it. It was the news outlets who pit them against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Gearbox is like, it's not even the same fucking game.
Yeah. They're nothing alike. It's not even remotely the same.
Then Randy did a magic trick on stage. Let me show you how it's not the same game. Magic trick.
Yeah. And then in one of the, he had a bunch of envelopes. It's the fucking worst.
One of them is the golden ticket.
He did that. He did that. Did you see when he did that trick?
Yeah, that was E3. Yeah.
God, that was fucking horrendous.
Yeah.
Was that E3 or was that PAX East?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That was one of the PAX.
It was PAX.
Because they had that's where they had the card game. That's where they started. They had that like to go.
Yep.
Well, there you go, folks. That's a show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, hey.
Hey. Hey.
Hey. Nothing. Let's get out of here. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Go also. Go buy a tree. All right. Go
buy some trees.
Go
smoke
to
weed. What?
No. Go to Team
smoke
Trees.
Smoke weed, eat turkey.
God damn it, Kevin. Go to Team
God
Trees. Are you done?
Oh, the tree thing. Oh.
Yes. Everyone go do something nice. Go to teamtrees.org and buy a tree. Okay?
Yeah. Go to teamtrees.org and help a YouTuber who doesn't need any help. Plant some trees.
How dare you? It's for us, not for him.
Whatever.
He is the nicest man. Boy. Whatever. Child. Kid.
Oh.
Keep forgetting he's 21. I watched his video he just uploaded yesterday, and he opened a bank and just gave people, he gave out like $200,000 to people. Crazy.
Must be nice.
To be that nice?
I'd do it if I could.
Yeah, and to be that, like, I don't know, like, you know, like, I know, I'm like, I know I don't need, you know, like, he knows, he's not living paycheck to paycheck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Because
I feel like I'd be the same way. If I was loaded with cash and it also had all these opportunities coming in with more money and stuff, like, I'd be like, fuck this money. Here, everyone else have it. It's the same thing. Like, I like Jeff Bezos as a person makes no fucking sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you be making billions of dollars a day and then neglect and treat your employees like absolute garbage? You were in the prime spotlight to be the best fucking person on the planet, and yet you decide that no, this amount of wealth that I'm generating is way more important than the people who are making the money for me. I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't get it.
100% absolutely agree, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I don't like it. And at least Bill Gates just passed him again to become the richest man in the world. And at least with Bill Gates, he spends fucking billions on trying to fix the world.
Yeah.
I watched that Bill Gates documentary. It is fantastic.
Yeah. Doesn't he have like, isn't he going to give away like 2/3 of his wealth when he passes or something like that?
I don't know. Doing that? I guess him and Warren Buffett signed a thing saying they're giving away most of their wealth to charities.
Yeah.
So
I just, as much as J.K. Rowling is a, I don't know, she's been a little, I don't know, problematic the last few years, kind of like anti-trans, and she said some kind of homophobic shit over the years, which has been really disappointing. What I do admire about her, though, is that she donated so much money to charities and the like that she was like one of the most like richest women in the UK or whatever, and is like not even on that list anymore because she's given so much of it away to charities. That's awesome. And whatnot, which is like cool. Like, you know, she's like, man, I'm good. I don't need all this. What the fuck do I need all this for?
Literally, Jeff Bezos could solve world hunger. He could house everyone in America. the homeless would be gone. Like it wouldn't be a thing.
The homeless would be gone. The homeless would have
homes. He could wipe out the homeless.
Oh God.
Tesla's
like, I'll help.
You know, he could probably clean up Flint. You know, that water's still polluted. Him and Tesla man could get together, and
Elon Musk
could, and they could fix the energy crisis. single-handedly, both of them together. Mm. I mean, there's so much good that this man could do in the world, but instead he's like, well, I'm just going to drive my my Toyota Corolla from 1987 because, you know, that's what I do.
It's just insane.
He still drives his fucking old-ass Toyota or Honda that he had back in college or was some shit. Just to be an asshole. Just like, I'm sitting on billions, but I'm still going to drive this old-ass fucking car.
Yeah, I mean, it would be more commendable if he was using the money to do nice things, but the fact that he's just sitting on the money and not doing anything with it, good or, like, personally, like, it's just like, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. Go fuck yourself. The fact that, yeah, he could literally end the homelessness in America by providing homes to them and not make a dent in the amount of money he fucking has, and the fact that he's not, is outrageous. The fact he won't provide like full health care for all of his employees is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. He could single-handedly go over to India and solve their plumbing problems and their pollution problem. But nah, fuck it.
It is the worst.
The goddamn worst. Anyways, I got to order some stuff on Amazon for Christmas.
But speaking of, I've got to go watch stuff on Amazon Prime and order some shit from Amazon. Yeah.
We're the absolute worst. We'll bitch about it, but then we got to go use the products.
Well, that's what makes it suck. I mean, it was like, think about if Bill Gates was this way, where it's like, well, I how are we going to do this show? Because we were using Microsoft products, you know, and like, he's created a service, while not necessarily necessary, has almost become a necessary. Not necessarily streaming video, whatever, I can live without that, but like, you know, we order a lot of stuff off of Amazon just because it's just easier. And I mean, you know, oh, we'll go to your local mom and pop shop place. Like,
he owns
what if they
it
don't have it
he and, owns it
yeah he probably does own it but like yeah what if they don't have it and I know I can have it on the same day. You know, I don't know. It's just one of those. It's a necessity that I guess isn't a necessity, but it feels like it because of how fucking convenient it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Truth.
All right, that's the show. Happy Thanksgiving. Go out there and hug someone. Also, he hasn't paid taxes last year.
Yeah, that's what is also ridiculous. These fucking loopholes. Fuck that. Send him to prison. Take his money.
Up Happy Jeremy. Thanksgiving, everybody. Epstein didn't kill himself.
Hey, he sure didn't, man.
No, he did not. And that's why two of the guards are getting investigated right now.
Yeah.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.